Have you ever stayed in a job that never paid you? For 2 months after that first week's check, the paycheck stopped coming. Yet there I was, showing up every day, caught in a web of charisma, stubbornness, and something darker, the belief that I didn't deserve better. That Craigslist nightmare became an unexpected teacher about self-worth and the real cost of undervaluing your time. Fast forward to today, and while I'm not building a real estate empire or launching startups, I've discovered something more valuable. A life where work doesn't consume everything, where my 401k is maxed out, and where debt-free living isn't a fantasy. This isn't about becoming wealthy by conventional standards. It's about rejecting the false choice between grinding yourself into dust or barely surviving. The path forward rests on two pillars: abundance, recognizing there's enough to go around, and intention, making purposeful choices about money and time. When you stop measuring your worth by your productivity or bank balance, you discover that moving beyond getting by isn't a 30-day challenge. It's a lifelong practice of alignment between your values and your choices. What does being good with money actually mean? The puritanical approach, exemplified by Dave Ramsey, treats money as a moral test. Never use credit cards, never enjoy yourself while in debt. Like crash diets, deprivation breeds frustration. Financial therapist Lindsay Brian Podvin offers a different vision. I made it a full work week without dining out. That happy hour was a treat, and I was much more present. Notice the difference? Compassion instead of punishment. What actually matters isn't obsessing over every dollar, but paying bills on time, avoiding lifestyle debt, and investing in your future. Try a Freudian approach. Ego spending covers needs affordably, superego handles savings and goals, and I'd gets whatever's left for pure enjoyment. Your IDGF number, what remains after necessities and savings, becomes your guilt-free zone. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Having any savings at all is privilege when nearly half of Americans can't cover a $500 emergency. The happiness threshold suggests money buys happiness up to $75,000 to $100,000, but real happiness springs from close relationships, personal autonomy, and self-awareness, all requiring time and resources to cultivate. So why do ultra-wealthy people seem miserable? Rich people spend 10 extra minutes alone daily and 26 fewer minutes with family, 6.5 full days of family time lost annually. They self-segregate, eroding empathy. Money addiction functions like gambling, a process addiction triggering dopamine hits. Those golden handcuffs of 300,000 plus salaries trap people in soul-crushing careers, violating their deepest values. Your personal happiness threshold depends entirely on your circumstances and values. Examine what drives your spending, identify your top three core values, then categorize purchases: non-negotiables, valuable bonuses, or indifferent additions. Crypto promised revolution, but delivered spectacular crashes. FTX imploded from $32 billion to bankruptcy overnight, exposing systemic fraud and regulatory gaps. Good investing is boring. Start early, ensure retirement accounts hold actual investments, not cash, and contribute consistently. Financial independence means having enough to stop working if you choose. The stock market historically averages 10% returns, though nothing's guaranteed. Investment educator Amanda Holden recommends widening the gap between earning and spending rather than fixating on age-based milestones. Visualize your bad granny future self. Sobering, considering 1 in 10 women over 65 lives below poverty, with higher rates among single women and marginalized communities. Traditional advice to save 10-15% for retirement? Probably insufficient. Use calculators accounting for taxes, inflation, and Social Security. Maintain aggressive investments even as you age, while keeping 5 years of living expenses in cash to weather downturns. Student loan debates ignore stagnant wages and tuition costs up 750% since 1963. Biden's relief plan would help 40 million borrowers, 90% earning under $75,000. Student debt disproportionately devastates marginalized communities. Black women earn $0.57, Native women $0.50, and Hispanic / Latina women $0.49 for every dollar paid to white men. For managing loans, there's no universal solution. Refinancing can slash repayment timelines, but may disqualify you from federal relief. Explore income-driven repayment plans and public service loan forgiveness. Counterintuitive insight: quickly paying off low-interest debt, below 7%, may not be optimal. Investing that money instead could yield better returns. Shein lists up to 10,000 new items daily, exploiting workers earning 4 cents per item during 18-hour shifts while contributing 28% of U.S. fast fashion's carbon footprint. Yet $5 tops make massive hauls feel justified. Our addiction to constant acquisition warps value perception, creating entitlement to buy excessively at unsustainable prices. True financial security means spending money when needed without anxiety while resisting unnecessary purchases. An abundance mindset recognizes there's enough to go around. An excess mindset drives overconsumption. Advertisers exploit scarcity with urgent, today-only tactics. Remember, retailers don't have sales to save you money. They're generating revenue. A $100 item at 40% off still means spending $60 unnecessarily. Cheapness extends beyond material purchases. Transactional cheapness exploits others, outsourcing work for pennies or refusing to tip service workers. Relationship cheapness enforces rigid financial fairness, keeping score rather than building unity. To live more abundantly, implement sinking funds in high-yield savings accounts with bucket features. Start small, perhaps $15 weekly for hosting dinners or unfollowing fast fashion brands. Meaningful change takes time. Manifestation culture mirrors bootstrapping narratives. Both equate financial success with personal worth while ignoring systemic advantages. No success comes from skill or positive thinking alone. Everyone benefits from circumstances that helped develop those abilities. Like the debt snowball method, easy wins build momentum for bigger challenges. Imposter syndrome disproportionately affects women, particularly women of color. Combat it with healthy nihilism, permission to stop worrying about asking for what you deserve. Companies act in their own interests, so should you. Create a career journal, documenting wins, tasks that come easily, positive feedback, metrics improved, workflows implemented. When setting freelance rates, account for administrative tasks, marketing, invoicing, and business expenses. These hidden tasks can halve your effective hourly rate. For hourly workers facing rigid structures, negotiate opportunities instead. Build relationships with advocates, take projects developing valuable skills, and maximize experience for future advancement. We've been sold a lie that we can have it all, thriving careers, perfect homes, Instagram-worthy lives, if we just work hard enough. Despite women representing over 46% of the American workforce since 1995, they still spend 2.33 hours daily on household activities, compared to men's 1.54 hours. This pursuit traps women in an impossible standard. Tiffany Dufu, author of Drop the Ball, reframes the conversation. Rather than having it all, she focuses on being present and redefining success in each role. When women drop the ball on domestic tasks, those tasks shouldn't disappear. They're important enough to divide equally among household members. Creating an equitable household contract prevents roommate problems from becoming marriage problems. Frame domestic work as shared responsibility, not something one person helps with. The goal isn't perfection in every domain. It's intentional presence in what matters most while letting go of impossible standards that serve no one. The get your ass up and work mentality ignores systemic barriers. Forbes calling Kylie Jenner self-made was absurd. She entered reality TV at 10 with enormous wealth and connections. Unpaid internships exemplify this, accessible only to those who can afford working without pay. Over 80% of major consulting firm employees and 70% at tech giants previously did internships, creating a system where privilege determines advancement more than merit. Being a good manager is self-serving. Supported employees who aren't burnt out become more reliable. Advocating down means using your position to support those with less power, sharing salary budgets, advocating during reviews, offering training, and refusing to perpetuate unpaid internships. The financial diet rejects the dream job myth. Even fulfilling work feels like work most of the time. After quitting YouTube, Ingrid Nilsson took her first real break in over a decade, then founded The New Savant with work-life built in, ending work at 4:45, attending regular Pilates classes. Her goal was not to be the product. Combat burnout by being consistently interested in your own life. Fill your schedule with unicorn spaces, activities sparking curiosity, involving connection, and offering completion. These pursuits are often cheaper and better for mental health than numbing activities like binge watching. Living a fulfilling life means embracing contradictions. Choose the less convenient option. Short-term convenience breeds long-term resentment. Aim for enough time with loved ones, energy for life-affirming experiences, interest in your job while maintaining boundaries, self-awareness to walk away when needed, money to live by your values, and confidence to make decisions regardless of others' opinions. You deserve to invest in everything that matters, not just moments of joy, but a lifetime of it.